What's up, folks, and welcome to The Bosses. That's where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, the Big Boss, and I'm here with my amigo, the Professor.
What's happening?
What's going on? So today, we are going to be looking at this Justice League trailer. So we've been, you know, kind of putting this off, trying to get these Marvel reviews out. And today we are going to look at some DC stuff. They dig right into this movie trailer.
Man, fair's fair. We got to do both sides.
Yeah, we don't want to come off as biased. I know we do sound like that. I mean, it's a lot of Marvel
stuff. No, I know
stuff.
I do.
But it's tons of Marvel stuff that comes out on the regular. So, you know.
True. Yeah. Very, very true.
So let's dig right in. First, before we even go in, I want to bring mention to an article we just read on these Justice League reshoots. So we just got finished watching the trailer. You know, you hear about these reshoots, and like these things are measuring up to be like $25 million on the reshoots, and then you know they're worrying about scheduling with Henry Cavill and Ezra Miller, because those guys have two other big blockbuster movies that they're working on too: Mission Impossible 6 for Henry Cavill and Fantastic Beasts 2 for Ezra Miller. So,
right,
yeah, I mean, so what are your thoughts on that, Professor?
I'm curious to what all the reshoots are about, first and foremost, you know what I mean, and why it's so expensive. You know, this article we're looking at talks about how, you know, reshoots usually, if they're going to do them, usually between 6 and 10 million.
Right.
These reshoots are 25. Like, that's a significant difference.
Yeah.
You know, and you worry a little bit about it because, you know, not so much a big deal for Ezra Miller because he's not really, his look really isn't going to change between the two movies too drastically, because he doesn't have the facial hair for the characters or anything like that. But right. Apparently, Cavill's character in Mission Impossible 6 has a mustache of some kind or a goatee, whatever. You know, they've got him rocking. And Paramount, you know, has said, no, you cannot shave, you know, during our filming. And now Warner Brothers is going, well, shit, what do we do? You know, it's not as big of a deal for Miller also because it's the same studio. Still Warner Brothers doing both movies.
Right.
So to get Miller back and forth really isn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
But with Cavill, it's two different movie studios, so it's making things a little more difficult. So now a lot of that money is going to be spent CGIing out the facial hair from him, and that just seems awful silly, you know, when it comes right down. But,
right.
I mean, I get it. I get why Paramount would say that, because you're going to screw up their continuity if you make the change, you know. So it's interesting. You know, it puts a little bit of worry on your mind. You know that it's not something that's a big deal because it's a lot of money spending changes. You know, lengthier, much more costly than the average reshoot. So,
yeah, definitely.
I wonder, you know, is it? Now, obviously, we don't know because they don't get into what all the reshoots are about. No, they usually don't. But you know, is it something to do with the fact that you've now changed directors? Now Whedon's come in, and you know, maybe they're trying to spin things a little differently, more towards his style, or.
Yeah.
Is it just they're adding things to the movie because they thought something was missing? You know, just curious to what it could be that could cost them this much money.
Yeah. My thoughts exactly. I'm like, this is a lot to put into some reshoots. It's not what we see on average. I think my biggest thing is I know that they're putting a lot of hopes on this movie. Like, this is pretty much going to determine the fate of the DCEU. So.
Yep.
All the chips are riding on this film, so it kind of makes sense that they're not just taking their time, but they're putting the money in where they feel like it needs to be put in. It makes me equally parts afraid or doubtful, and it makes me equally parts maybe hopeful that they're turning out something really good. But the fear is, it's like, hey, this is a lot of money to be putting on last minute. But the other side of it too is that they're trying to softly reboot this universe so that it's something that fans can follow moving forward.
Right.
So, you know, we talked about it yesterday, you know, Flash's new title now is going to be Flashpoint. So maybe they're going to be addressing a lot of the universe changes in that movie, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, this is going to be a world changer as well. So I'm thinking with Joss Whedon on making these, directing these reshoots, he's not going to get the credits as director for this film, but he's directing these reshoots, and you know, the tone of the movie may change. You know what I'm saying? Some of the direction may change. Some of the story directions or you know, wrap ups may get changed in these reshoots. So my hope is that these will be good reshoots and they'll be worth the money, because I just don't see how they could be spending this amount of money on reshoots. And they haven't even released the film yet, because they have to make all this money back. Like, I'm sure internationally it's going to do well enough to cover the difference, but right. they're definitely playing a risky game this late in the game, trying to do those reshoots, man.
I mean, it's going to do numbers. There's no doubt about that. You know, yeah. This is DC's version of the Avengers. It's the Justice League. You know, it's basically the same. You know, it's those parallel things on either side. You know, we've got the Avengers in the Marvel Universe, we got the Justice League in the DC Universe. So it's going to do fairly well. I think what they lose, and you and I have talked about this since these movies all started, I think what they lose is some of the non-comic book community, because they didn't set it up real well.
Right.
You know, with Marvel, it was what, 5 movies before we got to the Avengers that right. all involved Avengers characters one at a time.
Yeah, they really
made... Iron Man movies. It was 2 Iron Man movies, it was 2 Iron Man movies, Thor, Captain America.
Yep.
Incredible Hulk. Incredible Hulk, right, which they do consider part of the MCU yeah. line. That all led to the Avengers. All DC so far technically has had is Batman vs. Superman, Man of Steel, Wonder Woman. You can't really count Suicide Squad, because those aren't characters who are going to show up in Justice League.
Yeah.
So in this, you've just got 3 people, 3 characters, yet you're introducing 5 whole ones, you know, who have barely, 2 characters who barely touched the other movies. You know, you saw the Flash and Cyborg a little bit in Batman vs. Superman for all of 3 seconds or whatever.
Right.
Same thing with Aquaman. You saw Aquaman in Batman vs. Superman for all of 3 seconds. So you haven't really led too much into these characters, at least in the other Marvel movies. You saw more of these people, at least some kind of reference to them. You kind of knew who they were, but for the most part, they all got their own movie before we got there.
Yeah.
The only characters who didn't have their own movies were Black Widow and Hawkeye, and they're really technically background characters when it comes right down to it.
Right, and we got subtly introduced to a lot of these characters within those movies. So Iron Man yes. 2, we got Black Widow, and Thor, we got Hawkeye. So it was yep. like we got a taste of these characters way before we got to the Avengers anyway. So it's not like we're, and that's definitely my worry with this one, is that we didn't even get introduced to Flash, Aquaman, and Cyborg. They didn't get the attention that I felt like they really deserved before we got us a team up movie like this.
Right.
But, you know, the hope is that, you know, DC knows what they're doing, and moving forward, they're trying to develop something that's going to be strong. So, you know,
well, I mean, like you said, with Hawkeye and Black Widow, we knew their names before the Avengers movie came around.
Yeah.
If you watched the movies, you knew what they were called. You knew who they were. They spent more than 3 seconds on screen. I mean, Black Widow spends the entire Iron Man 2 movie in the movie. So, you know who she is by the end.
Yeah.
Hawkeye spends a large portion of the scene with Thor getting his hammer back. You know, people know who he is. They mention him by Clint Barton. You know, they tell you who he is. So yeah. You had an idea.
Yeah.
These are 3 characters who you saw briefly in Batman vs. Superman. You technically didn't see Cyborg. You saw whatever his actual name is, you know, as a half a body on a wall. You never yeah. actually see him as Cyborg.
Yeah, and you see his dad you working on him. That's who's talking. That's who's talking for that main yeah. clip. Yeah.
You see Flash in a convenience store robbery. You never see him in the suit. And then you see Aquaman underwater for all of 3 seconds before he destroys the camera. So you really don't. If you don't know the comics, you don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
You know, they have, yes, they do have Flash in Suicide Squad for all of 30 seconds. They never say his name. They never tell you who he is.
Yeah.
He just does his thing. You know what I mean? So I worry that you lose some of the non-hardcore crowd because they just don't know who those people are.
Right.
Now, granted, some of that crowd is going to be curious and go to see the movie just because they're curious to who they are. But it's going to be other people who go into the movie going, who the hell is that? Like yeah. they're just not gonna know. So I've always said the unfortunate part for DC is the blueprint was in front of them, because Marvel's been doing it for so long. All they had to do is follow the blueprint. But because it's Marvel, and because it's the rival, they didn't want to do that. They want to do their own thing.
Right.
And I think it's costing them, you know, pretty significantly up to date, you know, outside of Wonder Woman. I think it's cost them so far in terms of, you know, enjoyable movies when it comes right down.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, watching this trailer, I have to admit, it looks a lot better than I ever initially thought it was going to look.
Yeah, man, that's one of the key things that I looked at in this trailer is how visually stunning it is. Like, the landscapes and the environments are so well done, and these characters look so well built, and just the costumes are great, the lighting is great. Like, it looks like the gritty film that they want to show, but it still has these fantastical places that you want to see, you know?
And it feels like it's going to be one movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's going to be eight storylines like Batman versus Superman was, you know, between Doomsday and Lex Luthor and Batman versus Superman. And, you know, there's going to be one storyline. Steppenwolf's coming to the planet, you know, to do whatever he's going to do. Justice League has to get it together to stop him. And that looks like that's going to be it. So. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that's caused so many problems. Some of the other movies, personally, is they just try to do too much.
Yeah.
There was too much in the way of jumbled stories instead of just one focused story. And by looking at the Justice League trailer, this newest one, to me, it looks like they finally decided we're just going to go with one story, call it a day, and make the whole movie about the one line. And it looks so far, it looks like it's going to work.
Yeah, and that's where they should be going. I mean, when this trailer starts up, is like you get a feel for how they're gonna implement it. I mean, we get reintroduced to Wonder Woman straight right off the bat, and that's great because that was the last movie that we saw. We saw Wonder Woman, so of course we want to get reintroduced to her. And Gal Gadot is she's killing Wonder Woman. She's killing that role.
She's been great.
Yeah.
She's been fantastic.
It's like, you see, when she comes on the scene, she's in full battle mode. I made mention of this earlier. She looks at those criminals with, like, the hate of a thousand suns. I love it.
It's just, it will never cease to make me laugh. The fact that the biggest complaints people had about her before the movie even started was, A, her breasts aren't big enough to be Wonder Woman. Like, that really matters.
Yeah, like,
and
really?
And B, her armpits are different colors than the rest of her body. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like, that was really an issue people had. Like, really? Like, and the sad part is people, they went back and changed the color of her armpits in certain scenes because people were complaining.
Yeah.
Just, that's what you're reaching for to complain. You know, you really need something to have something else to do.
Yeah.
Because she's been very good. In all of the movies she's been in so far, she's been very good as that character.
Yeah, yeah. So it was definitely great to see her again. And this, it wasn't like this was part of the story at all. This was just a day in the life of Wonder Woman in the present day. So
yep,
she just, you know, taking down bad guys, and then she goes back to her curator job, and she's killing it. And yep. then right after that, we get reintroduced to the Batman, and it's not so much that he's doing his thing, it's just he's completely vanished. Like, he's off the scene, and that's what we're seeing, is like the Batman completely hands off.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing we see in that is J.K. Simmons, you know, as Commissioner Gordon, and that man will never cease to amaze me.
Yeah.
You know, now he's played two very iconic characters in J. Jonah Jameson, and now he's playing Commissioner Gordon. And both times, he has literally looked like he stepped off the page of a comic book.
Yes, sir.
And just wandered onto a set to play the character. He's so good at becoming that character.
Yeah.
It looks like Gordon's not going to be any different just by the look of him. But,
yeah.
You know, I think it's, if I remember correctly, I know we just watched it, but I don't remember. I think it's his voiceover basically saying, you know, we don't know where he is. You know, Batman hasn't shown up from forever, and he's got the bat signal on. You know, and there's a quick clip of Affleck as Batman perched on a gargoyle on the top of the building, just staring at the symbol, not moving.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's kind of trying to be Batman, really, but to stay more in the shadows than he normally would.
Right.
You know, and not kind of get out in the face of the public, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Not exactly where I would have expected, you know, the movie to kind of start to lean towards.
Yeah, and it kind of makes sense because when we leave him after Batman v Superman, he's kind of questioning his modus operandi. Like he's questioning how he's been carrying out this stuff, and he is made a true believer in the Superman, Clark Kent. You know what I'm saying? So he kind of wants mm-hmm. to continue that legacy. And he's like in a state of doubt. So I can kind of understand that scene. And I want to see how they flesh that out because him just kind of totally withdrawing doesn't seem like it continues the legacy. So I'm trying to see how they fill in those gaps and answer those questions.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell he's definitely still watching, obviously.
Yeah.
But maybe not getting quite, maybe not getting quite as involved as he used to.
Yeah. Yeah. And then right after that, we start hearing the Steppenwolf voiceover, man, which is eerie. It's fear striking. And it does drop a couple of Easter eggs, man.
It certainly does. Yeah. And it's not a voice I recognize. I'm curious if it's somebody who would normally know or if it's the actor. I don't know who the actor is just yet.
Yeah.
Who's playing Steppenwolf. It might be out there. I just haven't looked it up.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a creepy, kind of gravelly. To be honest with you, more of a voice I would have expected to hear on Thanos, you know, for Infinity War. Not that I have a problem with Josh Brolin's voice, but to me, that character should have always had a real deep kind of gravelly voice behind it.
Yeah.
And it seems more like Steppenwolf has that voice that I was looking for than more than Thanos does, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He makes mention, you know, like they're getting ready to take over this world. You know, there's no protection here. There's no heroes. He says there's no lanterns.
Yes.
Which is huge.
It's an interesting reference. I think he might say there's no lantern.
Okay.
Singular. Not that it makes that much of a difference.
Okay.
But he does definitely, because when you initially hear it, you're kind of like, oh, no lantern. He's just talking about light. And then you think about it, and you're like, wait a minute. Because he follows that up by saying no Kryptonian.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to think that it's a shout out to the Green Lantern. Potentially. Well, we know the Green Lantern Corps is coming as a movie for the DC Universe.
Right, right.
I believe that's 2020, something like that. But, you know, the speculation for a long time has been, is the Green Lantern going to be in Justice League? And nobody, I don't think I've seen anybody say no.
No, nothing like that yet. Yeah.
So you have to wonder. I mean, look, potentially, you know, just a quick jump to the end of the trailer. You know, you have Alfred working on a car and talking to someone saying, they told me you would be here. Let's hope you're not too late. The obvious thought there is it's going to be Superman, right?
Right.
You would 99.9% of the time you would go, okay, he's talking about Superman. We all know if we've seen Batman versus Superman, which if you haven't, it's worth at least one watch. It's not great, but it's
just
worth
to fill
at
in the
watch.
Gaps. Just to fill in the gaps.
Just fill in the gaps.
Like, yeah.
But the end of the movie, spoiler, if you haven't seen Batman vs. Superman yet, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Superman dies. Supposedly. The end of the movie. Hey, give him at least a 5-second countdown, right?
That was very gracious.
Thanks. You know, the Superman character supposedly dies. Now, you know, the end of the movie, they show his casket and it starts to move, so clearly he's alive. But the thought being is, you know, he's coming back to life and he's going to come back and help the rest of the heroes save the world. But, you know, how many times have we seen a scene like that where it's a total swerve and it's not what you think it's going to be? And that could potentially be, you know, him talking to a Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And they just don't have the green glow, you know, washing over him like you would expect to see because they don't want to give it away.
Right.
Movie rolls around, they'll add that effect into the scene. You might see that. So that could potentially be that. Do I think that's it? No, I think it's Superman.
Yeah.
But there's always that little sliver of a chance that it could legitimately be Hal Jordan or
John Stewart
or Guy Gardner.
Yeah.
You know, it could be any one of the four, you know, or any one of the thousands of lanterns there are, but it could potentially be a lantern he's talking to at the end. That'd be a pretty cool twist.
Kilowog
would be awesome. Kilowog would be great.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, but while we're getting the voiceover, the first scene we see is Themyscira. So we're going back briefly to Themyscira from Wonder Woman, you know, the land Wonder Woman is from. and you see Themyscira getting attacked by Steppenwolf and his parademons.
Yep.
And I believe what's in the trailer is a mother box sitting on a pedestal. It's like what he's going after.
Yeah, that's definitely what they said on that pedestal, is a mother box.
Okay. So it almost seems like, I think you might have said this the other day, that it almost seems like the mother boxes are taking the place of the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
For the Justice League.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be their, you know, their ultimate goal. Maybe the, you know, you have to collect so many of them or something like that, or you know, you need three or four of them and you can combine them to make something major. But you know, that seems to be maybe what's going on there. And that's that first clip. So it's cool that we're going to get back, you know, quickly to Themyscira, because that scene, or that scenery, is ridiculous. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I would love to see a little bit more of that pop up in the movie, which obviously is going to happen.
Yeah, I hope that scene lasts a little bit longer than it lasted in the trailer, because I love Themyscira. Like, they really did that well. That's designed really well, and I love the characters there. So, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, that's potentially there, you know. And then, as he's saying, you know, the brief mention of the lanterns, no protectors, is a quick shot of Cyborg and of Flash, but you can't really tell what they're doing. Cyborg kind of looks like he's investigating maybe a crime scene.
Right.
There's like a broken window in a hotel that he's kind of standing in, and then they show the Flash pushing through a window, which is kind of weird. But like, that scene, you can't tell what that is at all.
Really, yeah, yeah.
Just kind of going through the window, but then, you know, he says no Kryptonian, and there's a shot of, you know, Bruce Wayne standing in front of what's pretty clearly a hologram of some kind of Superman.
Yeah.
You know, you see the red cape fluttering and you see the blue leg for the pants. So, you know, we know he's not back just yet, or whatever part of the movie that is.
Right.
But it's a cool little voiceover with the imagery, the way they're working it. So
yeah,
I like that part of the trailer a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see how that goes. I kind of hope they go in the direction of it just being Superman, because going in the direction of introducing the Green Lantern, it's like, oh man, another character that we are not really familiar with in this world yet. And you guys are going to give us a reveal like that. So that kind of just makes me part of me wants it. The comic book fan in me wants it. But the regular movie going fan in me is like, I need some more development. Like, this world has not been thoroughly fleshed out for you to introduce another character to me that I have no idea where they come from.
It would be rough to introduce four brand new characters essentially in one movie.
Yeah. 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 So it's like, you were talking about the scenes with Flash and Cyborg, and we're watching these guys, and Aquaman. There's a scene with Aquaman in there too, thrown in that voiceover. But we see these three characters, and they're introduced in the trailer. Flash is introduced, I mean, pretty obviously as the comic relief of the group. He's kind of like the new guy on the block. He's trying to figure things out. So it's going to be nice to see him in this kind of character where he's kind of still fleshing out his powers and being in this environment. So I'm interested in seeing that. I like Ezra Miller as Flash. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this one, because everybody wants Grant Gustin to be the Flash in the DCEU, but just let it be, folks. Let it go. It's too late.
Look, I'm not a big Ezra Miller fan. I've seen him in other movies that I wasn't a big fan of him in. From what I've seen of his Flash so far, I think I'm going to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who would have preferred they use Grant Gustin, just because I do like the TV show Flash. And I also think it would have made a hell of a lot more sense, because you have a guy who's already established and it's going to bring you just that many more people to your movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, the excuse made to me is so lame when they say, oh, he's not, you know, Grant Gustin isn't dark enough. Well, look at Ezra Miller, what you've got in the trailer so far. There's nothing dark about that character whatsoever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cop-out to me that was their way around it. But I get it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't use the same people for everything. Well, I mean, look, you can. Look at Marvel.
Right.
But now, you know what? I take it back. I don't get it. I don't understand not using a guy who's already immensely popular to help bring people to your movie. But, you know, they're doing what they're going to do. So, you know, means eventually if they do a Green Arrow, they're probably not going to use Stephen Amell.
Nah.
You know, they probably won't use Melissa Benoist if they do a Supergirl, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think they lose out. Again, I think they lose out because they have those characters established already. They've got the popularity. But, you know, what do I know? I've never made a movie, so.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out when they do introduce all those characters that are already established on the CW network. The biggest thing is that they're by putting Ezra Miller in here, they're saying like, hey, we want to make Flash a lighter character. But they're backtracking. They've been backtracking in the DCEU for a while now. So they said, hey, we wanted to do a gritty. Now they're saying, maybe we won't make it so gritty. It's going to be serious, but we're going to go around this way. So this is how we're going to do it. But I mean, the way that they're doing it right now, this is the only option that they have. So we'll see what happens and how this turns out. But yeah, Grant Gustin, Stephen Amell, Melissa Benoist, they would have been excellent additions to this universe if they were establishing it, you know, through the TV show into the movie universe. This is just it's a missed opportunity. It gives them more coverage, so they can always backtrack and lean on one rather than the other if one fails.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a missed opportunity.
Look, they can solve it all for me in one casting when they do this Justice League Dark movie. You give me Matt Ryan as Constantine in the Justice League Dark movie and all's forgiven. Because that guy is amazing as Constantine, and you will not find a better Constantine than Matt Ryan.
Yeah, definitely.
No offense to Keanu, but he's just not quite the same.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that would do all things for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll keep, you know, plugging away on this. So, you know, the next scene, favorite scene in the whole thing, as I'm a huge Jeremy Irons fan. You know, he's just one of my favorite actors of all time. And, you know, it's a little quick clip between him and Bruce, you know, going back and forth. And he says, of course, you know, I miss the days when the one thing we had to worry about the most was a wind-up penguin, you know, which to me is pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know, clearly a quick reference to Penguin, you know, who, you know, potentially could show up somewhere down the line in the solo Batman movie if they ever actually make it.
Yeah.
It's just a great little quick shout out for me. I love that.
Yeah, that was good. I'm really loving Jeremy Irons as Alfred. I think when they casted him in getting that news, I was all for it. I was like, he's perfect. I can see him as Alfred, and he serves as like the perfect foil for Bruce Wayne. And I think he's great. He's a great addition to the universe. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him in Justice League.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. One of the biggest things that really was brought to my attention that I was like, I was kind of worried about is just how silent the character of Cyborg was in the trailer. Like we got a little bit of Flash and we got a little bit of Aquaman, and we got to see Aquaman do his thing. But Cyborg, we get to see him in a scene where he pretty much hacks a big robot machine and controls it. But he's very stoic and very icy, and I think that may be a part of his character, which I'll be interested to see. It's especially if they're going to do a standalone for him, watching his character development is going to be fun. But yeah, I just want to see more.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because they show you a little bit of everybody. So another person we don't see in the trailer clearly is Superman, right? It's one person we know in the movie we don't see. They show you the Flash, a couple different scenes, very green, very new to the hero thing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of going to be learning the ropes as things go along. You know, the quick shot of all of them on the rooftop with Gordon. You know, Gordon turns around and they all pull the Batman thing, and the Flash standing there by himself like, oh, they all just kind of left. That's rude. And then he takes off on his own. Very funny, quick little hit.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can tell he's the new guy, the green guy of the group. They show your Aquaman, who very different than what I expected. You know, the Aquaman that I'm familiar with, which isn't all that familiar, is the regal king of Atlantis, you know, kind of kingly, you know, character. Not the guy we're getting in this movie, it seems, by any stretch of the imagination.
Nah.
Could be parts where that changes, but, you know, most of this is him screaming and hollering, cheering as he's driving his trident through the chest of a parademon and riding it to the ground.
The Coltrane of the Justice League.
Yeah, excellent. Yes. Yes, very Coltrane. Very Jason Momoa. Like, that's what you would expect him to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But then all we really get is a quick shot, and we've really only got two quick shots of Cyborg ever speaking. One is the first trailer where it says something about So you dress like a bat now or something like that. Or yeah. you look like the Batman, something like that.
Something, yeah.
And then in this one, he says something, nothing more than, I'll take it from here, Alfred. Very robotic, very, I mean, obviously, cyborg, but a very robotic feel. So I don't know if he's going to be RoboCop or is he going to be, you know, cyborg that we normally see kind of joking around and you know, kind of being a normal person, even though he's in this, you know, shell of circuitry, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious as to how that character's going to be handled. I think if they go more to the RoboCop angle, where he's very stoic, very robotic, very cyborgy, I think people aren't going to like it.
Yeah, I think if they play it right, if they play it right, it'll be part of his character development, and we'll watch him become more human within the movie. If not just within the movie, definitely within his own separate arc that they have planned, because we need to see that. I think that's one of the biggest pieces of Cyborg's story arc in the comics, is that we kind of watch this man deal with the fact that he's half machine. Like, he feels half dead. He feels less than human. He feels half human. And he's trying to regain, you know, his emotional connection to the world around him. So I'm hoping that they kind of explore that a little bit with everything that's going on in Justice League.
Right. And I think they will. I think at some point he becomes a more likable character than what we've seen so far. So we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, and then like we said earlier, the end of the trailer is Alfred fixing a car. You know, he's got a glass of something sitting there, and all of a sudden starts to shake like Jurassic Park. You know, and he stands up and he goes, "Ah, they told me you'd be coming." You know that. You know, let's hope you're not too late. But you never see who he's talking to. But you have to think he's talking to Superman. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine any other way around it. You think he's talking to Superman.
And we talked about this before, and I kind of mentioned, like, hey, you know, at the start of this trailer, there's a quick glance on a newspaper that says all hope or hope is lost or has hope died.
A world without hope.
Yeah, a world without hope. Yeah. It says a world without hope. And then we get to this particular scene, and Alfred kind of emphasizes hope in his line there. So I'm thinking that it's going to be Superman. I mean, honestly, I really feel like they're all points lead to Superman. He's the only guy we didn't see in the trailer. So
yeah. You know, the curious part is what he's going to come back as, because there's so many rumors, you know, that he's going to turn out to be part of a villain in the movie, because he's just coming back from having died, so he's not going to know who he is.
Yeah.
And that just seems kind of silly to me. I can't imagine they're not going to have him come back, you know, because the one thing that I've read is that he comes back as the Boy Scout Superman that, you know, everybody kind of was upset that they didn't see in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but a lot of people were upset that they didn't see in Man of Steel, and that, you know, something about his death kind of teaches him that that's really the way he thinks he should be.
Right.
So that's, I would tend to believe that more than I would believe anything else.
Yeah, yeah, I could definitely roll with that. Yeah,
because I think that's the character you need. You know, as far as these movies go, you need the you need that Boy Scout, you know, back in the DC world again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all we got as far as the Justice League trailer is concerned. Overall, I've really enjoyed the trailer, and I'm really looking forward to the release of this movie. It's shaping up to be something that could really be what DC needs to carry out its cinematic universe. But I mean, a lot of hopes are riding on this one, man. And you know, with the news, it kind of makes it, with the news that we just read at the beginning, it's kind of a little shaky. But you know, we're hoping for the best with this one because the trailer looks great.
Like, I mean, look, I've said before in other places, I'm a Marvel guy. I grew up reading mostly Marvel stuff. I don't want to see the DC world fail. You know, I've my DC stuff has been more obscure stuff like Lobo and Demon, things like that, were my favorite comics as far as DC was concerned. But, you know, overall, I'm a movie fan. You know, I'm a superhero fan. I want to see them succeed. I want to see the movies be good.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope it comes out well. I think it's in some trouble only because of what's led up to it so far. I think Wonder Woman has taken them back on an upward curve.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to really help them going in there. I think they're in some trouble because it's opening 2 weeks after Thor opens up, and if Thor is as good as it looks, it's going to be a monster of a wave coming at them. You know, Thor's November 3rd, Justice League is November 17th. You know, and like I was telling you, we did on one of the last, you know, pods, I honestly believe that you will see the Punisher Netflix series released on November 17th. Because that's just what Marvel does, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they've got a little bit of an uphill climb, you know, and if Justice League doesn't do well, you could potentially see everything get scrapped and then wait a year or two and start all over again. Because
Yeah,
the last thing they can afford right now is any kind of dive. Just because, look, they have their fans. Justice, Suicide Squad, Batman vs. Superman, Man of Steel have their fans, people who love the movies. But if what I've seen, the things I've seen are any indication, the majority of them are not fans. So, you know, they've got some work to do, and it looks like they're doing it in the right direction. So,
yeah.
So we'll, but, you know, time will tell. We'll know in November.
Yep, definitely. Well, that's it for us here. You know, hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this video and to our page on YouTube. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. We're at the facebook.com/thebossesdesk. We're at Twitter, twitter.com/thebossesdesk. Our blog is thebossesdesk.com, and you can check us out here on this YouTube page. We'll be posting a lot more reviews, trailer reviews, and all of that. So just look for us this weekend. We'll do a news roundup and take a look at things that are going on. And you can look for us out on air. You got anything for the people, Professor?
Not that I can think of. I mean, next one, you know, I think we're really going to be looking at as far as big movie releases, probably going to be Dark Tower.
Oh, yeah.
In 2 weeks, I think, is the next big one as far as I know. So, you know, keep your eyes out for our reviews on that. I'm definitely going to be checking that out over the weekend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that'll be it for us here at the Boss's Desk, man. This is the Big Boss and the Professor signing off.
See you.
Later.